welcome to the Political Cesspool, known across the South and worldwide as the South's foremost populist conservative radio program. And here to guide you through the murky waters of the Political Cesspool is your host for tonight, James Edwards.
Welcome, everybody, to the Political Cesspool radio program. I'm your host, James Edwards. Saturday, March 16th, and we're ready for what's going to be a very fun show. You know, it's been a rough month, to say the very least. It's been one of the worst months. Not one of the worst. It's been the worst month of our entire run, without question. The passing of Bill Rowland at the end of February, carrying over into the start of March, and we did that special tribute show, but... You know, the day is going to come where we're all going to pass away. Even me, you, Keith, the battle will still continue. So the battle does continue as we continue to honor Bill's very rich legacy and memory. Tonight during the third hour, we're going to revisit an interview that Bill conducted with Jim Gilchrist, the founder of the Minutemen Project, back in 2006. We're going to go back to a year that was full of hits for us, 2006. You heard Bill interview Michael Andrew Grissom last week from that year, and now we're going to go back to that year and do the interview with Jim Gilchrist. That's coming up later in the show, but before then, as I said, we're going to have a little fun tonight. You need to have an infusion of fun from time to time, and I tell you, I need it tonight more than ever. I have really been depressed the last couple of days, and let me tell you why. I go into stores, and it's just filled with pastels. It's filled with Easter stuff. Now, I love Easter, and I love everything it stands for. Don't get me wrong. But in the back of my mind, there's a little bell coming off, and it's saying, you know what's coming, James. You know what's coming. Summer's coming. Those god-awful, humid, 105-degree southern summers, 100% humidity, stifling hot. You could choke on it. It's coming. And you know how much I hate summer, Keith. I'm a winter man. Daylight savings time kicked in last week, and now, you know, it's getting dark at 7 o'clock. I like it when it gets dark at like 3 in the afternoon. I like a dark, cold winter, but I tell you, the summer's coming. And to top things off, Keith, if that wasn't all bad enough, you come into the studio tonight, and you bring a salad, and you eat it in front of me, and you know how I feel about salads. So it's just, you know, we need a good, fun show tonight.
James, you're going to have to learn to eat salads, or else we're going to be, you're liable to not live out to the ripe old days that we want you all to live out to. You've got to get out of this meat and potato things. But on the other hand, you sound like a transplanted Yankee talking about how you hate the summers down here, man. You know, you don't have a winter in Memphis. Winter in Memphis is basically like fall in New England or something like that. So or Minnesota. In fact, have we had a single day with temperatures below zero?
No,
we haven't. In fact, we've had darn few. We probably had, you could probably count them on two hands, days that we've had below freezing, 32 degrees. So, what are you complaining about? But, you know, let me also go, though, back to the first thing you said about Bill. Bill was buried on March the 1st. This has been a bad month for us. But on the other hand, I have an advantage over Bill. Bill was born in 59, I believe, right? And I was born in 51. When I was born, nobody had an inkling of what the next 50, 60 years had in store for America. The total invention of this hydra called modern liberalism, which has triumphed and taken over every aspect, every crevice and corner of our culture. Who would have thought in 1951 that somebody would seriously be debating the pros and cons of homosexual marriage? And it's absolutely incredible.
We're going to get to some of this, but tonight, because that's another story, man. And if you get me on that, more than anything, that is a pet peeve. I have a couple of pet peeves. One is my dog. Right hand to God. If I'm asleep, and I don't get to sleep much because I have a 2-year-old. If I'm asleep 5-6 in the morning, the dog's going to be, we have hardwood floors in our bedroom. The dog's going to be pacing the bedroom floor with those fingernails, those toenails. And it's just going to, you know, oh my, if I've ever wanted to punt a dog, it's every morning when she wakes me up with that tapping. And the second is the homosexual issue. Salads would be another one, anything green. But in the Southern summers. Now, I tell you, you can ask. I guarantee you there ain't a Confederate that was marching around in those war uniforms that said, man, I'm glad I was born here because the summers are so good. I love everything about the South, but the weather. But the homosexual issue, Keith, is just, you know, the new pope. All these stories coming out about the new pope. He's so controversial. It's a pope embroiled in scandal. What did he do? What did he do that was so scandalous? He doesn't believe that the church should sanction homosexual marriages. Well, my God, that's about as simple, basic, fundamental Christianity as you can get. But now it's scandalous. It's controversial that a pope would adhere to the word of God. And they said, well, Jesus didn't speak about homosexuals. Jesus didn't condemn it. Read Romans, people, but it doesn't matter what the Bible says because the people who are going to teach us about the Bible are the people who've never read it. But the pope embroiled in the scandal because he's not for sodomite adoption in so-called marriage. How is that? But God bless him.
I think they're about to punt the Bible just like they want to punt the Constitution because they see a unchangeable roadblock to their agenda with the Second Amendment. They've got to disarm us because they just cannot stand for people in red state America to own guns. Likewise, the reason the new pope is controversial is because all the talking heads and all the media come from blue state America. There's not an authentic voice from red state America that can get a sinecure in the national news media. So consequently, we're hearing all of this news here in red state America that may as well be being beamed in from Mars as far as we're concerned. How in the world is adherence to your holy scripture, which roundly condemns homosexuality, not only Christian holy scripture, but Muslim holy scripture and Jewish holy scripture all condemn homosexuality, but we're asked to believe that it is somehow controversial for the head of a Christian denomination to be opposed to homosexuality.
Keith, you're getting too serious here. I said it's going to be a light show. It's going to be a funny show. Now, don't get me wrong, folks. We're going to mock and ridicule the left in this first hour. Look, you don't even have to mock and ridicule them. You just read what they say. You repeat what they've talked about, and it mocks itself. But listen, we've got some stories now. I think they're beginning to crack a little bit, Keith. They have gone so far that they've almost come full circle. They're completing the revolution. These stories we're going to talk about right now, how could any normal person with a shred of decency not look at this, read it, and laugh at it? But you're supposed to read these things we're going to be talking about in this first hour after this first break and say, oh, yeah, oh, that makes sense. Yes, I mean, how did it take us so long to progress to this point where we've realized that stuff like this is right? Well, folks, listen, to belabor the point, this first hour, I'm telling you, it's some stuff that even we, Keith, as talk radio commentators, you know, we live and breathe this stuff. It's getting too much. And second hour, again, previewing what's to come tonight. Bill Rowland, Jim Gilchrist, classic interview, third hour. Second hour, though, Winston Smith's going to be back with the aid of a courtroom transcriptionist. And he's going to be on with author and columnist Andy Nowicki to talk about the new book, Heart Killer, which, Keith, as you told me this week, was one of your favorites.
Sorry, I haven't read the book. But on the other hand, getting back to what you were saying, it's your last break. If you are upset with your dog, just give that dog to me. I'd love it. And I wouldn't have to worry about his fingernails or his toenails on the floor because he'd be sleeping in the bed.
We'll be right back.
Are you familiar with the term vigor? Strength in body and mind? He pursued his tennis game with vigor, for example? Well, I hadn't, but I learned about it from Kirk Crosby. All right, and he actually let me take a scientifically proven free vigor test. And I got 13 out of 32, not very good. But I worked on it with him, and believe it or not, now I have a 29 out of 32 and improving vigor score. You say, Sam, what on earth is this scientific vigor score, huh? My response is you got to take the free test, available now. Get a hold of Kirk Crosby to learn about it. The number's 801-669-2211. That's 801-669-2211. Or email Kurt, C-U-R-T, at libertyroundtable.com. That's Kurt, C-U-R-T, at libertyroundtable.com for your free vigor test today. Kurt, libertyroundtable.com, or 801-669-2211. Vigor test free, scientifically proven today.
This is Mercy, If you're listening to this message, warriors, you are the resistance. Warriors, you are not alone. There are pockets of resistance all around the planet. We are at the brink. Read about it in The Sovereign, newspaper of the resistance. Available now at newsstands everywhere. The Sovereign is a monthly 24-page tabloid newspaper featuring incendiary content about life during wartime in the age of Obama. Warriors, keep to date every month. Remember to read The Sovereign, newspaper of the resistance, available at newsstands everywhere. This alert is for all you boppers out there in the big city, all you street people with an ear for the action. This is Mercy. If you're listening to this message, warriors, you are the resistance. This is Mercy. Mine will be the last voice you will ever hear. Don't be alarmed.
Imagine a school where faith and integrity are at its center, where heritage and responsibility instill character, where educating both hearts and minds brings about academic excellence. There is a school in American Fork where character and embracing the providence of a living God are fundamental, where students' national test scores average near the 90th percentile. Based on LDS principles and a love of country, now in our 39th year, American Heritage School is accepting fall enrollment for kindergarten through high school. What would you do for your child? Give them an education that will prepare them for life. Located east of the Temple in American Fork, American Heritage School is a remarkable and affordable alternative. Visit us, find us online, or in the Yellow Pages, American Heritage School in American Fork.
Jump in the political cesspool with James and the gang. Call us tonight at 1-866-986-6397. And here's the host of the political cesspool, James Edwards.
All right, folks, now time to have some fun at the expense of liberals. I got at least three stories I'm going to bring to your attention this hour. It's going to progress from absurd to utterly preposterous to unbelievable. And you're going to think, how could it get any more preposterous than this first story? Well, stay tuned. Don't underestimate me, okay? Don't underestimate liberals. You know, we got a lot of problems in this country, Keith. One of the biggest, as far as the left is concerned, is the name of the NFL franchise in Washington, the Washington Redskins. How dare they use the word Redskins? A black columnist, well, to be fair, he says he's part Indian, so he's a black Indian columnist, as in American Indian. And here's what he had to write. He's just really upset about this. Everything is moving forward, he writes. The flowers are blooming, the future is bright, and the team in Washington still has a racist nickname. What? As the franchise clearly takes a turn for the better and is now run by grown-ups, rejoining the big boys of the NFL, now would be the perfect time for the Washington Redskins to dump the ugly, stereotypical, stupid, dumb nickname that embarrasses them. He goes on to say that it violates anti-discrimination laws. Did you know that, Keith? Did you know that the name Redskins violates laws? He goes on, but then it gets really absurd. As someone who grew up as a Washington fan and is also part American Indian, I found the nickname to be dumb and offensive. He used dumb and stupid twice. It's like my kids writing this. And he said, we can have this debate repeatedly, but for a franchise that is allegedly so smart at marketing, why not take advantage of this time of good feelings and excitement and change the nickname to something a little less bigoted? Say, the Washington Universe, since we all come from Stardust. Keith, he really wrote that. He wants to name the team the Washington Universe because we all come from Stardust. Race is a social construct. In fact, humanity itself is a social construct because we're actually all just Stardust. And he said, start anew, start fresh, adapt, show compassion, stop with propaganda, do what's right. It's time, Washington. It's time. And as I always say, Keith, it has to be absolutely exhausting to be a chronic malcontent like this guy, whose life revolves around searching for imagined racism to pretend to be upset about. It'd be one thing if he just pretended to be upset about the Redskins' name, but to advocate that it be changed to the Universe because we all come from Stardust, now you're starting to get in their minds a little bit.
Well, I'm thinking, like I'm sure all the rest of Red State America is thinking, what in the world is this man prattling on about? What, you know, does he have no bigger problem in his life than the name of a sports team, which I guarantee you 99%, or not 99%, maybe 90% of the people in the United States of America find nothing whatsoever offensive about it. You know, I guess to go with the new homosexuality theme that we have to go through, we need to change the name from the Washington Redskins to the Washington Foreskins. But, you know, this is the absolute, you know, this is so absurd that somebody is wasting ink and wasting our time about something like this. I guarantee you the players in the NFL aren't upset about it. Remember the guy with the, Super Bowl, coming up to the Super Bowl, the guy from San Francisco, and they asked about homosexuals in the locker room, and he gave a candid response that is very similar to the response that most sane people would give to it, which is that they wouldn't prefer to have that. And you would think that the guy had blasphemed God based on the reaction of the mainstream media.
He'd have got off much easier if he had blasphemed God.
Yeah, in fact, you know, he would have probably been congratulated if he had blasphemed God. See, this is, our ancestors are absolutely right. We're coming up on Confederate History Month, and the more time I spend looking over the sorry state of popular culture in today's America and in the West, the more I'm convinced that my ancestors are absolutely correct. We are two countries. There's no doubt about it. And the only way that we can have self-determination here in Red State America is to divorce ourselves from the Blue State America that gives us that media that seems to think that the most important thing that we have to concern ourselves about now is, you know, bending the ownership of the Washington Redskins football franchise to the will of political correctness.
Well, Keith, if you think that was silly, I'm just getting started, buddy. That was the warm-up act. I haven't even gotten into the game yet. The Southern Poverty Law Center, our good friends in Montgomery, Alabama, talking about a blue state bastion of an organization being anchored in the heartland of the South, but they renew their hate watch list just as the flowers bloom this time of year. So too does the hate list. They update it every spring. And for the seventh consecutive year, dating back to the spring of 2006, the political cesspool is proudly part of it. You know, I was reading a column by Chuck Baldwin this week, and he was mentioned in the new Hate Watch report that came out in March. And he and Richard Mack and Ron Paul and James Dobson and the American Family Association, basically anybody. And Chuck Baldwin said about it just the same as we do, Keith. He's proud to be on it. If you're not on it, you're not carrying your weight in the conservative constitutionalist movement. And he's absolutely right. So we know that we're going to be on it. We know that Chuck's going to be on it, and Paul, and a lot of these other guys. Pat Buchanan's one of their favorite whipping boys. But that, even they now, too, are reaching a little bit too far. The singing nuns of Spokane, Washington, Keith, the Spokane singing nuns are on the hate list. They're a hate group, a designated hate group. If you go to the SPLC's website, go to the state of Washington, you will find the Spokane Singing Nuns. Now,
what crime against common decency?
I heard that's because they don't promote free sex. But we got a picture of the Spokane Singing Nuns on our website, and there's a group picture of them. It looks like a high school, you know, reunion photo or a high school yearbook photo, and they're all in their nun regalia, head to toe. You can only see their faces. They look like nuns. You would think they would. But they're on the hate watch list. And they got a little dog next to them. I don't know if that's a beagle or what. Now, I don't know for sure if he's on the hate watch list or not, if he's officially certified, but the nuns are. And they say that the nuns are because the church that they go to, St. Michael's Church in Spokane, in the 1980s, Keith, the 1980s, said something along the lines of that, in their opinion, the Jews have too much power and influence in government and media. The 1980s. And so because the church that the nuns go to 30 years ago said one thing, very factual, you know, basically they took the Jews' word for it, you know, Jews in their own publications, and we've talked about this frequently, quite often, brag about the fact that they have control of Hollywood, and they have control of this, control of that. So apparently the people, the poor saps at St. Michael's took their word for it, and that's anti-Semitic. If you believe what the Jews say, you're anti-Semitic. But anyway, so the that's apparently what's going on there in Spokane, and the singing nuns are there. We're coming up on a break. I'll give you a quick word, Keith, and then we're going to read the story about it and further commiserate with the singing nuns in the next segment. But a real quick word from you before we set the table.
Apparently, if you observe, you're really on thin ice when you dare to broach the topic of race or Jewish power and influence. Those are the two greatest taboos of all the taboos in political correctness. And if you go one step further, for example, and recognize that the Jews run Hollywood, and then connect the dot to the next level, which is that Hollywood is turning out what the Jews of Hollywood would call dreck, which is poisonous to our society and culture, then you've really gone a bridge too far, James.
Well, here's the scoop. As I said, what do the Spokane Singing Nuns, the American Family Association, Dr. James Dobson's Family Research Institute, the Political Cesspool, Chuck Baldwin, Ron Paul, Pat Buchanan, Michael Perutka, the Constitution Party, all right, what do all these people have in common? They're all on the SPLC's map of hate groups. Now, we're going to fill in the blanks. We're going to fill in the blanks on this right after this, and then we're going to move on to even more ridiculous stuff from
your daily Liberty Newswire. You're listening to Liberty News Radio.
Are you a native son or daughter of the South who pleads the stars and bars? Someone not born in Dixieland, but who is a Johnny Reb at heart and looking for a place to shop that promotes Southern heritage? Well, your search is over. Dixie Republic is the place to go for all things celebrating the Confederacy and promoting Southern pride. Inside the log cabin just outside Travelers Rest, South Carolina, Dixie Republic has t-shirts, hats, videos, flags, books, belt buckles, and some of the best mouth-watering barbecue sauce that will ever touch your lips. There's just about everything you want honoring the South at Dixie Republic. Well, you say that South Carolina's a bit too far for you to drive? Have no fear, my friend. All of this is just a mouse click away. Go online at www.dixierepublic.com. You're home for all things celebrating the Confederacy and promoting Southern pride.
Hello, everyone. James Edwards here. Are you sick and tired of liberals and race hustlers and the media calling you a racist just because you oppose Obama's policies? Well, my friend, those days are over. After you read Racism Schmacism, you'll never again fear being called the R word. I invite you to discover why every conservative in America needs a copy of my explosive new book. Racism Schmacism has received much critical acclaim and will equip you with the key to unlock their socio-political nuclear bomb once and for all. Order your copy today by visiting the official website of the Political Cesspool radio program, thepoliticalcesspool.org. Proceeds of each sale go to help keeping our award-winning show on the air, and they make great gifts for your conservative friend or family member. Buy Racism Schmacism today at www.thepoliticalcesspool.org.
Are you worried about America? Do you fear the power of the Obama brigades to take away your rights? The Obama presidency is the most radical left-wing administration in American history. Our constitutional liberties are in danger. What can you do? Join the Council of Conservative Citizens. For over 20 years, the CFCC has fought for the rights and ideals of the European American majority. The CFCC has won legal and political battles to protect your heritage and your liberties. The CFCC advocates strong state governments over the power of Washington, D.C. to rule your life. The CFCC believes in an American first foreign and domestic policy which opposes globalism and one world government. The CFCC advocates racial integrity as God's natural order. Visit our website today at www.cfcc.org and join fellow European Americans in the fight for our people.
Get on the show and express your opinion in the political cesspool. Call us toll free at 1-866-986-6397.
You know, I saved the best for last. We were going down the just the haters, you know, the hate-filled people that are on the hate watch list. And to be sure that they are, there really do exist three or four people in this country that are actual Klansmen or neo-Nazis that perhaps would deserve a spot on this list. But that's not who we're talking about. Now, you know, those people exist just to give the rest of us, a bad name, to add just a veneer of credibility to the hate watch list. And let's face it, folks. I mean, I'm not saying anything you don't already know. There are, you know, just because these people are white doesn't mean that they're always right. You know, I hate to say this. Liberals prove that all the time. But yeah, there are some white people that we shouldn't be associating with. You know, don't get me wrong. I'm not trying to sound like an egalitarian here, but there are some people that advocate things and are overzealous in their rhetoric, and it's counterproductive. But Liberty News Radio, the very syndicate, the network that puts the Political Cesspool Radio program out to the affiliate stations across the country, they too are on the hate watch list, praise be to God. If you've ever listened to Sam Bushman's show, the Liberty Roundtable, man, just dripping with venom every Monday through Friday here, 7 to 10 a.m. Central Time. Listen, just pure unadulterated hatred every weekday on Liberty News Radio. So very deserving that Sam is with the rest of us here on, and the Singing Nuns, Sam and the Singing Nuns, and they're not too far from each other. The Singing Nuns up there in Spokane, Sam in northern Utah, so it all makes sense. But here's what they say. Mount St. Michael, a home to a Latin Rite Catholic church, school, and convent north of Spokane, Washington, has been listed on the Southern Poverty Law Center's hate watch list for alleged anti-Semitic activities. Last week, the center released the annual update of its hate map of groups around the country, which includes an interactive, easy-to-use online graphic. Mount St. Michael is one of the 16 organizations mapped for Washington. I'm going to skip down to the bottom of it. We've already talked about this a little bit. And by the way, a newspaper in Spokane, Washington, asked the SPLC about this listing, and they defended it. They defended the St. Michael's listing, the Singing Nuns. Carol Swain, she is a black law professor and a professor of political science at Vanderbilt University. I know Carol Swain, and she is a good person. She's a critic of the Southern Poverty Law Center. Keep in mind, a black woman, but a fine one. She said that this church appears to be tarred by the liberal organization for holding conservative religious beliefs. Swain has previously defended conservative groups and individuals, including yours truly, ladies and gentlemen, who came under fire by the Law Center. She contends that the Law Center is narrow-minded, that it itself is a hate group. Swain, the story reads, an African-American who once recommended a documentary that the center considers racist, must have been something we put out, Keith, has been labeled an apologist for white supremacists by the Law Center. See, if you get black people that are forthright and candid, They're apologists for white supremacists. Yeah, intelligent. She goes on to say, and I was just talking about this during the commercial break, she writes that, I've never heard of anyone being taken off their list. She thinks a conservative group should be taking, being listed by the Law Center, the Southern Poverty Law Center, a badge of honor. And it should be noted, Keith, that Carol Swain contacted me back in January. She has a television program in Nashville. It airs in Nashville on one of the local affiliate stations. She asked me to be on her television show. I couldn't make it the day she was taping that particular one due to scheduling conflicts. But anyway, you know, so there are some honest folks out there of that particular tribe. But as I said, TPC, proud member of the Hate Map since 2006. And we'd like to welcome the Singing Nuns of Spokane and St. Michael's Convent to our, I don't guess it'd be a fraternity since we have nuns in it, but it's a nice little social club we got going on here. Good people.
Let me say that anybody in conservative circles has to aspire to belong to this august group, the hate watch list of the Southern Poverty Law Center. It's so incredible that, you know, in the past, you were looking for something that you could point to that would justify being named a member of this hate watch list. For example, have you touched the third rail? Have you connected all the dots? Have you not only mentioned Jewish power and influence, or even commented that the Jews seem to be overly represented in certain key influential positions in society? Or can you mention anything about race that is truthful about non-whites without running afoul of political correctness? Well, apparently you can't do anything. It's not a matter of touching the third rail anymore. Even if you touch the first or the second rail, you qualify to be on the hate watch list. And the reason they have to expand the hate watch list is because there just aren't enough Klansmen, apparently, or neo-Nazis, or Nazis, or paleo-Nazis, or whatever, to go around. And they've got to find some way to scare the elderly Jewish clientele they primarily serve into parting with their shekels to give to the Southern Poverty Law Center. So they have to constantly be inventing new threats to the public order and to decency and et cetera, as defined by the liberal left. The liberal left is crazy. I gave a speech this past week to a local group of the Sons of Confederate Veterans about the true causes of the Civil War. And I pointed out that Abraham Lincoln held views on race that would make a modern-day Klansman blush. And furthermore, if there had been, I told them that the truth of the matter is nobody, absolutely nobody in antebellum America thought like a modern liberal on the issue of race. And the left can't allow that to come out. All of these movies, like the new Abraham Lincoln movie by Steven Spielberg, or the Abraham Lincoln Vampire Slayer, or Django Unchained, what they're trying to do is tell the public that there were people in antebellum America that thought like modern liberals on issues like race. And they obviously did not. And they don't want people to recognize that. They don't want people to get that message, because if they did, people are liable to conclude that maybe our ancestors were right and these new arbiters of taste and decorum in America are the ones who are wrong. And they can't allow that idea to gain currency. I also said at this presentation that if there was anybody in antebellum America who thought like a modern liberal on the issue of homosexuality, they would have been considered a raving lunatic who would have been placed under lock and key at the very least. Nobody in antebellum America, as far as I know, cared to argue that homosexual behavior and heterosexual behavior were equivalents or should be treated the same. This is, you know, the whole idea behind liberalism, all of these ideas are so absurd that it's just, you know, I don't see how anybody can, you know, refrain from just laughing in the face of a modern liberal that tries to argue their position to you. And of course, the Southern Poverty Law Center is trying to cast anyone that disagrees with them to the outer darkness.
Well, folks, you're thinking to yourself, what could you have that is more ridiculous than those two stories? And those two stories being, change the name of the Washington Redskins to the Washington Universe because we're all made of stardust. That's what one columnist who, obviously a black columnist who is claiming some sort. I put his picture up on the website just so you could see. He's claiming American Indian ancestry, but
looks like a metro
city. That's a stretch. But so there's that. And then the singing nuns of St. Michael's Convent being added to the hate watch list, along with James. You know, look, I don't understand. Why are they stopping there? You know, they have the American Family Association and the Family Research Institute, two of the biggest, most recognized and venerable Christian entities out there. Why not just put every Bible-believing church in the country? Now, I'm not talking about these so-called churches that ordains homosexual, you know, lesbians as priests. You know, these aren't churches. But every church that has a shred of relevancy, why not just put every Bible-believing church on the hate watch list? Because, you know, you put the Family Research Council and the American Family Association on there because they believe what God said about homosexuality. Why don't you put, hey, show your hand, SPLC. Put every church on there because they deserve to be on there according to your litmus test.
Furthermore, I don't think it's going to be, but well, not only that, it's going to be just a matter of weeks, I'm sure, before they decide that the new Pope needs to be on the hate watch list because he has uttered some vaguely conservative comments, and he is recognized to be not a liberal true believer, so consequently, he must be a hateful hater.
Look, they just need to go all out. Put Jesus Christ, put God himself on the hate watch list. And then we'll really feel good about the company. All right, we'll be back, folks. It's going to get more ridiculous, believe me. These messages. We gotta get out of this place. If it's the last thing we ever do, we gotta get out of this place. Girl, there's a better life for me.
Are you looking for an affordable way to earn your bachelor's degree? Do you want a college experience that's more personal? Then discover your future at America's Transfer College. Students across the U.S. are choosing Ivy Bridge College as a better, smarter way to earn their degree. Thanks to Ivy Bridge's unique program, starting at a two-year college and transferring to finish your degree has never been easier. The program is simple. Start with Ivy Bridge College and take your first 2 years of college online. Transfer to one of over 140 of Ivy Bridge's partner schools and take your upper division courses. Then graduate with your bachelor's degree from the school of your choice. Personal attention, small class sizes, affordable tuition, and a clear pathway to graduation. Start your academic journey and contact us to learn more about Ivy Bridge College today. Call 877-622-2059 or visit americastransfercollege.com to find out more.
Scott Bradley here. Most Americans are painfully aware that the nation is on the wrong track and in dire straits. Unfortunately, most political pundits only nibble around the edges when they claim to address the issues. Even worse, many of the so-called solutions are simply rewarmed servings of what got us into the mess we currently face. And the politicians think we're so gullible and naive that we'll buy their lies that they have reformed and now understand where they led us astray. Unfortunately, the truth of the matter is that they simply wish to continue to hold power. The solution to America's challenges is found in returning to the timeless principles found in the United States Constitution. My book and lecture series will reawaken in Americans an understanding and love of the principles which made this nation the freest, most prosperous, happiest, and most respected nation on earth. Visit topreservethenation.com. and order my book and lectures to begin the restoration of this great nation.
Hello, everyone. James Edwards here. Are you sick and tired of liberals and race hustlers and the media calling you a racist just because you oppose Obama's policies? Well, my friend, those days are over. After you read Racism Schmacism, you'll never again fear being called the R word. I invite you to discover why every conservative in America needs a copy of my explosive new book. Racism Schmacism has received much critical acclaim and will equip you with the key to unlock their socio-political nuclear bomb once and for all. Order your copy today by visiting the official website of the Political Cesspool radio program, thepoliticalcesspool.org. Proceeds of each sale go to help keeping our award-winning show on the air, and they make great gifts for your conservative friend or family member. Buy Racism Schmacism today at www.thepoliticalcesspool.org.
Welcome back. To get on the political cesspool, call us on James's dime, toll free at 1-866-986-6397. And here's the host of the political cesspool, James Edwards.
Welcome back to the show. James Edwards here, Keith Alexander to the, I don't want to say to the left of me, so I'm going to swivel my chair around. So now he is to the right of me. I'm in a swivel chair. Peter Scoop Stanton also calling in, and it's timely that Scoop call in early this evening because we are just about to get into a story that he sent me. He tipped me off on this. I said the craziest, the most bizarre story we saved for the last of this hour. A male fighter is participating in a women's mixed martial arts competition. How did that happen? Well, he had a snip job. He was born a male. He lived all of his life as a male until a couple of years ago. Then he snipped off his manly organs, took hormones to grow breasts, and now he's masquerading around as a woman. And feminists have themselves in a trap with this whole so-called transgender issue. If they allow just anyone to define themselves as female, which is the progressive thing to do, soon men that pretend to be girls will dominate female sports, as this guy is doing. And of course, all the articles refer to him as a she, and she is so courageous for coming out as a woman, even though she was mistakenly born as a man. And, you know, feminists really can't object to this because they claim that gender is a social construct and whatever men do, women can do better. So based on that logic, all women's sports should be eliminated and women should just try out for the regular teams, right? Such is a dilemma when you deny reality. Well, this guy, he changed his name to Fallon Fox. And we got a picture that's going to post on the website next week. It's a before and after picture of this guy. Keith's looking at it right now here in the studio. But so he cut off his you know what and grew some breasts. And now he's a woman because he felt as he was a woman. So now you have to refer to him as she and this, that, and the other. Well, he's undefeated, Keith. If you can, I'm going to refer to him as a he because he was born a man. He is a man. Nothing's going to change that. You can cut off whatever you want. You can grow whatever you want. You're a man if you were born a man. All right. Well, this guy, and that's what he is, he's undefeated, believe it or not. I mean, can you believe that a guy could go out and beat up women? Well, he's undefeated in these mixed martial arts competitions. He's scoring like knockouts in 30 seconds every fight. And so this is what's going on. I mean, you just can't make this stuff up. This is where we've progressed to. It makes you glad you lived this long, Keith. You lived to the day in 2013 where men can beat up women and it be courageous. Scoop, a quick word on that, and we'll toss it over to Keith for commentary. Scoop, you sent me that story, so I know it's something you've been tracking.
Yes, unfortunately. Good evening, James, Keith, and Suspole family. Happy St. Patrick's Eve. I got home last week at the crack of dawn after working a long shift, and to relax, I decided to go jump on a website, and I happened to come across Ramsey Paul's website. My mouth just dropped watching the clip on the dude who's beating the hell out of women in mixed martial arts. If you look at the picture, that's one broad you don't look at and go, I want some of that. I mean, the dude's stupid. The dude, even though it had the operation. So that's all I can say about that back in the studio.
Well, Scoop, I got two words two names to throw up. First, Dr. Renee Richards. Dr. Renee Richards. And then Andy Kaufman. Why? Well, first of all, this is old hat. Remember in the tennis world of back in the late 70s, they had a man who was at best a kind of good country club tennis player named Richards who decided he wanted to have this transgender operation where he got a snip job, as James said, and became a woman. And suddenly he started dominating women's tennis, much to the alarm of the feminists who were, you know, supporting and promoting women's sports at the time. And I think they finally found some way to drum him out of the women's tennis circuit. But while he was there, he was dominating. Now, the absurdity of trying to say that men and women are equal in all respects was finally put to rest by Andy Kaufman when he, you know, the Jewish comedian, wimpiest guy that you've ever seen, showed up in Memphis and started his transgender wrestling stick, where he would go to the Mid-South Coliseum and say, I want the biggest, baddest woman in this place to come down here and wrestle me, and I'll give you $1,000 if you beat me. Well, we have some rough broads here in Memphis, both black and white, and I believe most of them used to show up at the wrestling matches in Memphis. And they would come down there, and I mean, these rough, tough, heavy hip mistreaters would come down there, and Andy Kaufman, the biggest wimp that you would ever imagine, that you've ever laid eyes on, pinned every last one of them. So, you know, when can somebody tell the emperor that he has no clothes, James? This, you know, liberal live on the idea of radical egalitarianism. Everything is the same. Blacks are the same as white. Women are the same as men. Homosexuals are the same as heterosexuals. Environmentalism. Plants and animals are the same as human beings. But every day, everybody's experience just tells you what a bald-faced lie liberalism is. When are people going to snap out of their trance and tell liberals to go take a hike?
Hey, Keith, I told you it was going to get, you know, they claim to be progressives. Well, they're getting progressively worse and progressively more absurd and preposterous. We went from the Washington Stardust to the singing nuns being on the hate watch list to now this guy going out beating up girls, and the liberals are forced to say she is courageous. She is so great. You know, and we did the story scoop a couple of months ago back in December. This 50-year-old guy, same as this guy that's fighting in the women's leagues here, pretending to be a woman. This 50-year-old guy, 6'4", 250 pounds. He claims to be a woman, so he has the operation, and he grows his hair out, and he goes out and, you know, wears women's clothes, and he's a woman all of a sudden. And he joins this junior league basketball team, junior college basketball team in California. And he's going out there and dunking on all these little 5'2", 20-year-old girls. And, oh, how courageous this, you know, person came out as a woman. He had to live his whole life, you know, as the wrong gender. Gender is a social construct. And he gets out there, he's just dunking on all of these girls. And he's some sort of a hero. Hey, this is madness, Scoop.
Yes, sir.
I mean, your take on it. I mean, say something. I mean, take me somewhere. Take me home tonight, Eddie.
If you notice, James, for some reason, yours truly always happens to come across these stories. Believe me, there's different websites I could go to that I'm not going to mention if I watch something like that. But just it's the mainstream media is pushing this garbage. I mean, if I grow out my hair on and put on a dress and try any sport, well, one, I'm going to fail. Two, I'll be left out of the arena. And it's only a matter of time before we're going to get rid of the WNBA and all these other then female talent. We're going to be male against female, and then what's going to happen? You're going to have 10 females against 3 males on a basketball court. For the WNBA, and that's going to
Well, you know, Peter, this is Keith. I think that the rest of the world that is not into liberalism and political correctness, which would be everything except the white parts of the world, they must look at us and think that we have absolutely lost our cotton-picking minds. I cannot, for example, I was talking about being born in the early 50s. I cannot believe that anybody that lived in the early 50s, if you gave them this snapshot of what the future was going to be like, they would probably have you committed to an insane asylum. They could not imagine that our nations would turn into the insane asylums that we've become due to progressivism and liberalism.
Scoop, a final word from you, my friend. I tell you, I don't know how we're going to top this out. Yeah, you know, they take it seriously, and they take themselves so seriously. And if you point out to them on any of these stories that we've covered tonight and so many more that the emperor has no clothes, you're a racist, you're a heretic, you're a homophobe, you're a bigot. Scoop, you see it every day. You live in the Capital District. I'm sure it's much worse there than even in Memphis.
Oh my God. I got to ride the rails going to and from work, different locations. I swear to God, almost every night's a drag race. But in terms of these transgender athletes, when they need to answer the call of nature, is it a sit-down performance or are they standing up for an encore?
All right, brother. Well, listen, I know unlike our adversaries and unlike those who are our detractors, you're working tonight. You're working for a living to provide for your family. And not only are you working, you're taking time off work while you're on the clock to serve the good cause of paleoconservatism by calling in to log your customary segment. And we love you, brother. Thanks for taking the time to work us in tonight while you are, heaven forbid, working.
Pleasure's all mine.
All right, Scoopy. We'll talk to you next week. Folks, coming up the remainder of this hour, don't forget, third and final, Bill Rowland, going to be going back in the Wayback Machine to 2006 to hear his classic interview with Jim Gilchrist, founder of the Minuteman Project. And, you know, there's an interesting backstory about that that I'll share with you later. And coming up right after the break, Winston Smith will be on the line to interview Andy Nowicki about his latest novel. We'll be back at that time. Stay tuned, everybody.
Comes your way right after these messages.
Next week. Hang on, I'm going to watch it. The day the squirrel went berserk in the First Baptist Church in that sleepy little town of Pascagoula. It was a fight for survival that broke out in revival. They were jumping pews and shouting hallelujah. Well, Harv hit the aisles dancing and screaming. Some thought he had religion, others thought he had a demon. And Harv thought he had a weed eater loose in his fruit of the looms. He fell to his knees to plead and beg, and the squirrel ran out of his britches leg unobserved to the other side of the room. All the way down to the Amen.